Live from Blog Talk Radio, Mystical Empress Life Coaching with your host, Brenda Renee.
Welcome, everybody. This is a wonderful new spring day. The sun is out. It seems like the sun shines every day that we have a radio show. It just makes me especially happy. The birds are already beginning to build nests in our backyard. And nature is in full force. Today, we are very fortunate to have animal communicator and medium Meredith Whitney with us. And I got to tell you guys, I was thinking about this last night and was very, very excited. So Meredith, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you very much for having me on.
Yay!
Yay!
All right, so let's figure this out. You have, since you were a little girl, you have noticed that you had some gifts that seem like other people may not have. So why don't you tell us, how did you realize that you had the gift of animal communication, and how old were you when that came in?
Well, I think I was about, probably 13 years old when I started getting pictures from my horse, and I didn't know what those pictures meant, so I kind of, like, dismissed the pictures that I was getting in my head, and I would see things out of the corner of my eye, but I couldn't tell my family because it was scary, and I didn't know how to tell them. I do have a cousin that's also psychic.
Yes.
That runs in my family. So, and then, let's see, back in 2002, I started opening up again. I had shut it down, and I was starting to open up again and seeing visions on the wall in my head, and I started to hear voices in my head. So I actually went to a friend of mine, and she's a psychic medium and an astrologer, and I went to her really nervous and crying, and she said, "Honey, you're psychic. You're not schizophrenic. You're okay." And then she told me, "Use this gift, embrace it to help people and animals."
Aww. That's good. So tell me this, when you say your horse was sending you pictures, like what kind of pictures?
Well, he was a hunter jumper, and I trained at this barn where my trainer was a barrel racer. She used to go to rodeos every weekend and used to train hunter jumpers during the week. And she put barrels up in the middle of the ring, and before she did that, I got pictures of him trotting around these barrels, and I'm like, what? There's no barrels in the middle of the ring. We just got back from a hunter jumper horse show. What does this mean? And sure enough, like a week or two later, my trainer had set up barrels in the middle of the ring, and it was the day after a horse show, which is usually a day off for the horses, and I jumped on bareback and trotted him around the barrels. And it still didn't dawn on me that I just had a psychic visit. So.
Oh. Well, you know, it's interesting that, you know, a big emphasis in your work is the horses, because the horses are the most easily telepathic with humans. So I think that's really cool. I, as you know, I did a big New Age show this last weekend, and a girl came to me right at the end of the show, and she had a horse. Oh, I can't remember what she told me his name was. It was Kingston. And she was expressing concern. He was a show horse. I don't remember exactly what. You know, I know he was jumping over something. And she was talking about how every time they'd go to jump, she would get really, really nervous. And she, you know, she had been doing this for a while. So I figured she was picking up on the horse, and we talked about him. And, you know, I said, well, was he owned by someone before you? And she said, yes. And I just kept getting that he had had some trauma. And, you know, it was expressing now with her. And I, you know, we just kept talking about it. And I told, but this is something I figured out last night. Believe it or not, Meredith, I was reading a book on healing last night, and there was a chapter about animal healing and animal communication. And this struck me that I had never put together, and you can comment on this. They talked about, she said, animals don't necessarily understand words. You have to send them emotions and pictures. And that's what you're saying the horse was doing with you. He wasn't sending you words. He was sending you pictures.
Yes. Well, when you talk to your animal or animals, when you say, okay, Spot, let's go for a walk, you're automatically subconsciously sending them a picture of you guys going for a walk. But
okay.
I have found in my experience that a lot of animals, dogs, cats, horses, they're very smart, and they do pick up on words. They do know words. Like, I remember a dog that we used to have in our family used to have to spell walk, W-A-L-K. So, yes, animals do understand words.
Okay, cool. Well, I gave her some messages to send to the horse, you know, of seeing him being successful in these competitions and, you know, giving him a lot of confidence and support, because her anxiety probably added to his anxiety, I would imagine.
Exactly. When you ride a horse, you have to be very careful about keeping your emotions in check, because if you get on that horse and you're angry or you're not having a very good day, they can feel it through your energy. You're transferring your energy onto that horse.
Interesting. And so many people... I mean, and you know, that may be what's going on when someone gets on a horse and you hear of these people getting on, people who've been experienced riders and all of a sudden getting thrown and, you know, getting really, really hurt. So that may be their vibration being all jumbled and it just resulting in that, you know, that outcome. I don't know. So
I find that to be true. What I have found, it's hardly ever the animal's fault. If they act out in behavior or they're doing something out of the norm, like for instance, a horse bucks you off or rears, there's something he's trying to tell you about the situation.
I really like that. I've always had a passion for horses, and when I was a kid, I would ride them, but somewhere along the way, as I grew up, I got scared of them, and I even owned one at one point, but I never rode him, and I would go out there, that horse probably thought I was just ridiculous. I would try to sneak to the barn to feed him before he would see me, and he would come running, and I would just freak out. And this horse was about the most gentle horse you would ever know, but just all the size, you know, I told you before we started, I'm 5 foot tall, and this horse was, yeah, you know, a monster to me. I just freaked out.
Sure.
But I've always wanted to get over that. I really want to get over it. Horse is one of my totem animals, so it's ridiculous that I'm scared of them, and I really do want to get over that. But I found you to be very enlightening and intriguing at the same time, because all of my life, I've always had animals drawn to me. Wild animals in particular will come up to me like I'm not even there. And a lot of it when I was growing up was animals were sick. And I would beat my head against the wall trying to figure out how to help them. And man, if I had developed this gift you have, I could have got a lot accomplished.
It's anybody can do this. I'm not special. Yes, I have practiced and practiced and practiced to hone my skill. I've taken classes. It's just what my heart called me to do. I've been a graphic designer for the last 25 years, graphic and web design. I went to school for it. But this is what I really enjoy doing. It brings me joy to help people and their animals and to connect people with their loved ones on the other side, whether that be an animal or a relative or an ancestor.
Do you notice, speaking of mediumship, do you notice, Meredith, that you get a lot of spirits around you from the other side that are like, pick me, I want to talk to so-and-so?
Yeah, I have what I call office hours. Just like humans, I have boundaries with spirit too. So I have a sign above my desk, and it says, office hours for spirits, Monday through Friday. And right now there's no hours because I got so overwhelmed with spirit. You know, they were knocking on my door or just walking through my house. I'm like, excuse me, I'm working here, and I have to kick them out of my bedroom at night. Now, there's not a lot, but It feels to me like every day there's a spirit that comes to me and says, hey, you know so-and-so? Well, I need to get a message to them. I'm like, okay, I need a phone number or something. But I haven't really done that. I've only done it twice in public, and both times the message was well-received, and the people were very grateful. Yeah. I don't like doing that in public.
I can totally see why. I used to, when I first got into psychic work, I used to get myself in trouble, not because I would willingly go tell people messages. I would be in conversation with people and stuff would come out and it would shock them. I didn't even know that I was giving them a psychic message. So I totally understand what you're saying. Okay, let me open up the phone lines for questions. If any of you guys listening would like to ask Meredith a question about mediumship, about animal communication, or about your own pet, please call in at 515-602-9648 and press the number 1 to be put in the queue so that we know you have a question. Okay, let's talk a little bit about pets. I'm sure you run into a lot of dogs, cat owners. I don't know how exotic it's gotten for you. I would love to hear the most exotic pet you've worked with so far.
The most exotic pet that I've talked to so far is probably a yellow ball python.
Oh, wow.
I met her at it was called the Wiener Fest in Southern California. And I was doing mini sessions there, and right next to my booth was a reptile company that did parties, birthday parties or whatever. And so I walked over when there was a break, and I said, oh, well, do you mind if I try and talk to your snake? And she said, oh, sure. So I'm talking to this snake. It was a female.
And how do you talk to her, Meredith? Mentally?
Yes. It's telepathic.
Okay.
It's through words, pictures, and feelings. That's what I receive.
Okay.
So out loud, I would ask the snake a question, and it would answer me through words, pictures, and feelings. And it was telling me that it needs a bigger tank at home. And the woman that was in charge of the snake said, "Oh, my gosh, yes. In fact, we've been talking about getting her a bigger tank." And she went on to tell me that she likes doing the parties. And I saw her with children, a vision of children around her. And it was just fascinating to me because I had heard from other animal communicators that it was harder to talk to a cold-blooded animal than it is a warm-blooded animal. And why that is, I'm really not sure. But that's pretty much been the most exotic. I've talked to turtles, fish, all kinds of animals.
I love it that you're here with us, and apparently some other people do too. We've got two callers with questions, so let's take the first one. I see someone's been sitting here for 6 minutes. Hello, caller. What is your name?
Hello. My name's Susan.
Susan, do you have a question for Miss Meredith?
Hi there. I didn't know if she was doing little mini readings or just talk about what she does.
Meredith, you can answer that.
I could do a one-question reading.
Okay. I mean, I do have animals.
Or a question about your animal.
Okay.
What I need is a description of your animal, what kind of animal it is, because I don't have photos, so I work off a description if I don't have photos.
Sure. No problem. Do you need his name?
Yes.
Okay. It's a dog. It's a Cocker Spaniel. His name is Nelson.
Okay.
He came with that name. I adopted him.
I like it.
Okay, and what does Nelson look like?
He is, let's see. He's about, I'm trying to guess weight. I haven't had him at the vet for a while.
No, what color? Like, what color is he?
He's like a buff color, like a tan, light tan.
He's a Springer Spaniel or a Cocker Spaniel?
No, he's a Cocker Spaniel. They're smaller.
Okay. Okay. And what is your question today for Nelson?
I mean, I don't know if you could pick up, I don't know his, you know, beginning history as a puppy. I mean, I don't know if you could pick up, I don't know.
His
feelings
adopted?
Towards me. I mean, I adopted him from somebody, from a, you know, private person. They couldn't keep him. So he was 3 when I got him. He's 9 now. He's always, I don't have a specific question, but he's hungry all the time. You know, I don't know if that's a health issue or just, he was abused when he was younger,
I'm not getting there's been any abuse. I'm getting he's very playful, and that he was he told me he was adopted, and he loves being with you.
Well, that's
he said he
sure.
likes to ride
he
in the. He said he likes to ride in the car.
Sometimes. He barks at other. On in other cars.
Okay.
So he's happy. Do you get anything, Meredith, on his the reason he's hungry all the time? Is it really about food or is it about something else?
I'm getting there's something going on with his liver.
Interesting.
Okay.
It, I was wondering, could there be any parasite issues with the constant hunger too?
That could be too.
I mean, okay, I'll put it a different way. It's not that he's hungry all the time. It's just like if we're eating, he's always interested in food most of the. I mean, often.
That's normal. That's a normal dog.
We're going and saying he's constantly. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I just get this feeling like I think he grew up from one of those puppy mills.
He said because he hasn't trained me properly, so I don't know any different.
Yeah,
so,
I got
well,
him when he
when
was
you're,
three.
Yeah, when you're eating. You might want to train him to go lay down on his bed.
Okay.
So he doesn't sit beside the table and beg.
Yeah, he barks. It would be nice if he just sat there quiet. He'll bark. And
yeah, because he's trying to communicate to you. Hey, I'm down here and I want some food. You're eating, and I have to sit down and watch you eat.
The funny thing about him is. Okay, he doesn't do it all the time. Like early in the morning, he won't do it. Just like, and I moved back home. It's funny you mentioned liver because I have an issue with my liver. I don't know if you're picking up on me, but.
Oh, that might be true. That might be the one picking up on liver problems is you instead of the dog. Sometimes the wires get crossed when I'm doing a reading,
mm-hmm.
and it will be the human's health issues that I'm picking up on and not the dog's.
Interesting.
And then I'm getting the word, I'm getting arthritis.
For him, okay, that makes sense. He has been having trouble. I thought maybe just the cold. I live in New Jersey, but I noticed he does have trouble with his steps. And when he gets up from sleeping.
Yeah, I'm getting very stiff when he gets up.
Okay.
So I'm hearing you might want to put him on, if you haven't already, glucosamine.
Okay.
Chondroitin.
Okay.
Every once in a while I give him aspirin, but I guess he needs something more.
All right. Does that about clear it up for you? We've got another caller waiting.
Thank
you, Susan.
Thank you so much. Okay, thanks.
Thank
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling in.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
All right. All right, caller, are you there? What is your name? Hello?
Hi, my name is Dawn.
Dawn, do you have a question for Ms.
Hi,
Meredith?
Hi, Meredith. How are you? Hi, Dawn. It's nice to meet you. I have a dog. Her name's Gabby. And she is a mutt. They think she's part greyhound, part lab, but nobody can really tell me. She chews on her paws a lot. And I have taken her to the vet, and they tell me that, you know, that it might be a food allergy or it might be a seasonal allergy and all these things. And I'm pretty sure that it's anxiety driven, and because she gets, like, really bad separation anxiety. Whenever, like, she doesn't see one of us. And I just want to know, like, how I can help her get over this anxiety. If she has, like, anything she wants to tell me that would help her.
Okay, right off the bat, I'm hearing, do you know anything about essential oils?
A little bit.
Okay, so what I'm hearing to do with her is to give her lavender oil, and I highly recommend that you either get it from youngliving.com or doTERRA. It has to be, when you're using essential oils on an animal, they have to be 100% therapeutic grade. You don't want to get anything from a retail store because you don't really know what's in it.
Okay.
I like to go with the high-end essential oils just to be on the safe side.
Mm-hmm.
But Spirit is telling me to get lavender essential oils and put them on the bottom of her feet.
Okay.
That will help calm her. And also you could play like classical music for her when you leave. Oh, I'm getting, she never tells me when she's leaving and where she's going and when she's coming back.
Okay.
So I have found a lot of my animal clients, their moms and dads really don't realize that they need to talk to their animals like they are their children. So if they leave to go to the grocery store, you say, hey, I'm going to the grocery store, and then you show them a clock in your mind's eye. You send them a picture of a clock and when you're going to be back so they don't worry. And animals worry about us. Like if we leave and we just don't tell them where we're going, they worry about us. They have feelings, they have emotions, just like we do.
Okay, wonderful. That all is good. Thank you so much, Meredith.
You're welcome. She's saying take her more places.
Okay, I will.
that way she'll get used to being out and about with you and socialized. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Now,
fun.
This is enjoyable. Thank you, Meredith, for being here.
You are so welcome. This is so much fun.
Okay, let me tell you guys, if there's anybody else that has a question out there, you can call in 515-602-9648 and press 1 so that we know that you have a question. Okay, so this is something that I want to talk about that I hear a lot. Pets, and the first caller brought this up, you know, with the liver thing. Pets often take on the owner's health issues. Will you elaborate on that, Meredith?
Sure. They do tend to take on our issues. We are a mirror for them. So they're going to take on our emotions, our feelings. They know when we're sad, when we're angry. And I personally have never had a client that said, oh, yeah, I got cancer because my dad has cancer or my mom has cancer. I've never run into that, so I don't know. But emotional issues turn into physical issues.
And, you know, I watch what people do for their pets, like their dogs, and it absolutely astonishes me the degree, the measures they will take for their animals that they won't take for themselves. It's interesting.
Yeah, that's really interesting. People will take care of their animal before they take care of themselves.
Have you come across any animals that were wanting to transition, but they couldn't for whatever reason, possibly their owners didn't want them to cross or whatever?
Yes, I have. When I lived in Southern California, I moved to Texas a year and a half ago. And when I lived in Southern California, I'd be sitting there at my desk in my home office, and all of a sudden this animal would pop into my head, and I'm like, yes, hello, who are you? Please identify yourself. So they would. And I had a friend of mine who was in the rescue. She does rescue. And her dog came to me probably 6 months before she passed away. She said, hey, this is so-and-so, and can you please tell my mom it's time to go? I said, I can't do that. Well, why not? And I said, well, because, first of all, I kind of know how your mom would react. She would freak out, then she'd get mad at me. So you have to let her know. And sure enough, she passed away. And when I went to go visit her mom at one of the rescue events, I told her, I said, I knew that I couldn't tell you. It is really tough. My cousin's rat had cancer a couple years ago, and I was picking up on this rat that had cancer, and he kept mentioning her name, and I finally put two and two together, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to tell my cousin her rat has cancer and that it wants to be put to sleep? Like, it's time for it to go.
It's hard.
Yeah. Animals usually know, and they usually reach out to me to tell their moms or dads, but it's really tough because sometimes I do know how the person will react and sometimes I don't. So I can't just call somebody and say, hey, your animal is telling you that it's time to go.
And so many, I've watched people with an animal that is clearly deteriorated and would be so much happier in a fresh body, and the owner will do everything to keep that animal alive.
Yes, that is true. Some people wait too long, and then they have this guilt, like, oh my God, I waited too long. And that guilt doesn't really help you or the animal. You made a mistake. It's okay. People are allowed to make mistakes. But you really have to watch for signs. And our animals are always, always trying to communicate with us, whether it's through feelings or whether it's, you know, through pictures in our heads. Like, they'll send you a picture in your head. And if you are stressed out or angry or not really open-minded, you're not going to receive that communication. Your dog could be sitting right next to you, staring at you, hoping that you're going to, you know what they're saying, but you don't. Some people don't know. But, yes, I have helped an animal or two transition. It's not easy.
I don't guess. Mm-mm. You know, I'll get around these animals, and I can tell they're trying to talk to me, and they're sitting there looking at you, and they're probably thinking, why don't you understand me? You know, when we first moved in this house, we had litter after litter of wild rabbits in the backyard, and we would feed them, and they got to where they'd take it from our hands, and you know, these little rabbits, they'd sit there looking at me, and I would think, wow, I just wish I could understand you. But I didn't accomplish it, Meredith. It was on my list.
You can, Brenda, you still can.
I'm gonna keep working on it, especially after this.
Yeah, I talk to the squirrels that are in my backyard, and right now it just turned into spring, so I'm expecting a couple litters of wild rabbits in my backyard if I can keep my cat away from them this year. I saved 4 or 5 baby bunnies last year. Their nest was right underneath a tree in my backyard. My cat, who was still kind of a kitten last spring, and I would let him out, and one day he just sat under that tree, and I'm like, I went out there and I said, Oreo, what are you doing? And he said, look, Mom, I found some new playmates. And he didn't know. So he would like throw them up in the air, and I'm like, no. And so I finally had to explain to them, no, these are babies. And he accidentally killed one. But the other babies I saved and took them to a wildlife sanctuary type place. And the woman there saved the rest of the litter, thank God. And then they took them someplace and let them loose. So.
Wow. Well, they, you know, there's so many different species, and when you're communicating with them, do you notice they communicate, and depending on the species, they communicate differently to you?
No, I find that they communicate pretty much through words and pictures and feelings. Like, I can be sitting here at my home office desk, and all of a sudden I'll hear, "Hey, Meredith," like, the animals around here know my name. Or they'll say, "Hey, lady," or they'll say, "Hey, lady," in this house. "You're an animal communicator, right?" And I'm like, "Yes. What do you need?" So, you know, I talk to them throughout the day. If I get overwhelmed with too many, you know, species coming through, I'll like turn the volume down. But animals pretty much know, they can sense if somebody knows how to communicate with them through telepathy. I went to an event, it's kind of like a dog Mardi Gras, the crew of Barkus, and I was sitting there at my booth, and, you know, I would hear the dogs that would come through, "Oh, look, mom, there's the animal communicator." And, of course, the human mom can't really hear her dog, but I could. And so I just, you know, walk up and say, "Hey, would you like to talk to me?" And, you know, so I can hear them, and they can sense that I can hear them and talk to them.
And so they come in. I've heard that about people that have crossed over. They know the ones who can hear them see them.
If I'm out in public, I have to visualize a sign that says off duty, or else I would get bombarded when I go out to the grocery store or shopping or whatever. Because if I see a spirit standing like to my left or to my right, I have to be very careful that I don't acknowledge that they're there, because I have literally looked over at a spirit, a human spirit, and I can hear, "Oh my God, you can see me? What?" And they'll walk right up to me in my face, and I'm like, telepathically, I have to tell them, "Look, I'm off duty. I don't do this in public."
How cool. You know, my best friend had that gift.
Yeah, cool sometimes.
She never did it. Well, she never did it professionally, and it really, and I don't think she necessarily learned boundaries with it, and it was extremely overwhelming for her.
It can get pretty overwhelming at times, like to the point where I have to call on my angels to tell them, or I have to tell spirits to leave. "Look, this, I'm really feeling overwhelmed. Can you please leave?" And then other times I'll hear, "Hey, this is so-and-so, and I'm so-and-so's relative. Is this a good time?" Like, most of them are pretty polite. Like, they respect your time. I know. They respect your time and your energy, because it does. It takes energy to do this kind of work. And I have to be very careful. I have to be very, very careful about, you know, my energy and who I let in, energetic-wise. I tend to spend quiet time out in nature or just alone time.
To recharge, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you being an Aries, you and I are a lot alike in that we don't know when to stop. We think we can do it all.
I have heard my spirit guides in my head say, "Do you want to take a day off, Meredith? Do you want to take a day off?" No, let's go. Let's go. I have to be careful about that too, because spirits are my clients too. I not only have paying human clients that have animals and they want to connect with their loved ones on the other side who are human or animals, And I get paid by them. But I also have spirits that are clients, too. So.
Okay, I'm going to spring a question on you.
Oh, gosh.
Well, we talked about it before, but I didn't ever send you a picture of my shaded silver Persian cat, Sir Gawain. And I'll describe to you what he looked like. He
had... What's his name again?
Sir Gawain.
G-O-W-A-N?
G-A-W-A-N, like Gawain in the Lancelot, King Arthur tale.
Oh, okay.
And he was, oh my God, I have never seen a more handsome cat. And he was an Aries, Meredith, born on the 24th of March. And his hair was so thick and luxurious. He looked and acted like a king. And I, we adored each other. But he came into my life when there was, I was going through the dark night of the soul. And it was a really, it was the most difficult time in my adult life. And I went through a move and I said, well, I don't know what's going to happen with this move. I don't know if it's temporary or what, but until I can figure it out, I'm going to let you stay with one of my friends. And this girl, it was funny because she had little children. And when I had first got Gawain, he stayed with them for a month because I was doing a lot of traveling. So he was happy to go reunite with the kids. It was all boys. And when I went to pick him up 3 months later, he did not want to come with me. He wanted nothing to do with me. And it broke my heart. It devastated me. But I respected his wishes. She was like, oh, just force him to go with you. And I said, no, he's a being just like I am, and I'm not going to force my will on him. If he wants to stay here, I have to honor that wish. But in the last 6 months, and that was all in Louisiana, and now we're in Colorado, and in the last 6 months, I've had all these dreams of him wanting me, you know, wanting to reconnect with me. I've been in the kitchen standing there and felt him run into the room. I could feel his energy, his spirit. And so I guess I just wanted to see if you had anything you could offer on him. I don't even know if he's still alive because I'm not in contact with this friend anymore. It was too painful.
When you were talking about him throughout, I was writing down what I was getting, and he tell her I'm not in the physical anymore. So he's
okay.
Said he's passed, and I'm seeing a cat that has silver tips on his
yeah,
fur.
That's him.
Silver tipped, and I saw a cat with either blue or green eyes. I'm talking like really green eyes or really. And he said he was here to help you, but he had helped you, so it was time for him to move on and help another family. That's why he didn't want to go with you, and he wanted to stay with that family. He said the children needed him.
Aww. That's good to know. That eases my heart a little bit on that.
He said he's okay.
So can he tell you why he keeps visiting in my dreams? Like I'll go to pick him up, like bring him back to me.
He said, I'm happy, Mom. I just got chills. He said that he's okay, and he said, I'm happy, Mom. I just wanted to let you know that. So when spirit comes to us in dreams, it's mainly to tell us that they're okay and they're happy. And that is the easiest way for them to visit us is in our dreams.
A lot of, you know, people have said, get another cat. I'm going to tell you, Meredith, I don't think I could search the world over and find another cat that would feel that. You know what I mean? It was a very strong soul connection.
Yeah. Well, you still have a strong soul connection with him. Just because he's not here in the physical doesn't mean that you still don't have that connection. That connection will last forever.
I often imagine holding him like I used to and feeling all that thick fur.
How come I'm seeing you holding him upside down like a baby. Did you used to hold him that way?
All different kinds of ways. Yeah, I snatch him up and carry him around.
Okay. Yeah.
You would have no going. He would not let anyone else mess with him. I was the only one. And I got to tell you a story you're going to laugh about. When he was just, well, you may or may not laugh about it. The vet laughed about it. When I took him for his first visit, the vet was up on Arthurian tells, and he told me, he said, "You can't possibly name this cat Sir Gawain." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because he was the most handsome of the knights and he was the most vain." And I said, "Well, I don't have a problem with that." So I named him that, and he grew into, like I said, he had king energy all over him, and he carried himself very regally, and everybody that saw him wanted to touch him, and he was not having that. He wanted no part of it. But this particular family, he loved those kids, and I knew he did.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know, I can't. And people thought I was horrible for leaving my animal with them, and I said, you know, he's not my slave. You know, I have to respect what he wants. But I felt like he crossed over not long after I left him. But he does. He comes to visit me. So let me open it up and see. We've got 40-something minutes left. So let me see if anybody else wants to ask a question. And thank you very much for that, Meredith. Thank you.
You're
very welcome.
For
giving me a clear answer on him. Okay. If anybody would like to call and ask Meredith about animals, or even any, I'm guessing she would love to answer your questions about transition loved ones too. You can call it 515-602-9648. Press 1 to be put in the queue so we know that you have a question. So on this people crossing over, now I've had, in the last 2 years, I've had three people that were very close to me cross over. And I noticed the first one, when she crossed over, I could feel her very strongly the first 6 months. And then I didn't feel the energy anymore. And I had my neighbor passed over at Christmas, and it really hit me hard. And one day I was sitting here and I said, "Hey, David, why don't you come visit me?" And that night I dreamed about him. And he was, you know, he was in his 80s and he was ravaged by cancer when he went. And in the dream, he was this middle-aged, robust man. And I didn't even know that's what he looked like, you know, when he was younger. And I called his wife and I said, "Hey, you know, is this what he looked like?" And she said, "Yes." But I asked him in the dream, I said, "When are you going to come visit me again?" And he just hugged me real tight, and he never answered. So I was wondering if, when people cross over, is there like a time frame that they're more connected to us on Earth? And then they can go on to their own path.
I have found there is no time over there. They can come and go when they please. They do have other jobs on the other side, but if you ask, they will come and visit. Like if you're having a hard time deciding on what colors you know, whether to remodel the house or not, that can help you with that. You know,
simple
there is
thing.
No time frame over there. Or difficult things, they can help you out. They can warn you about not doing something because it's not in your best and highest good. Along with your spirit guides, you also have your soul group, soul family, like your grandparents or your parents or your children on the other side. And I know some people believe that when you die, you cease to exist. That's okay. They have their own beliefs. But then there's some people who do believe that you go on living. Our body is just a vehicle. Our soul inhabits the body that you have. So when that body finally gives out and dies, your soul goes on living on the other side. That is what I truly believe, and that has been my experience as a medium.
Mm-hmm. I get people, I had one this weekend at the fair. If somebody point blank tells me I want to speak to somebody's spirit, I say, look, I'm not a medium. I can't help you with that. But every now and then they'll slip through the cracks and put me on the spot, and then I have to deal with it. But I had a lady come to me this last weekend at that fair, and she came in and we talked a little bit about this and that, but she finally ended up telling me that she was very disturbed about her dad's passing. And I said, well, you got a building full of mediums. Have you been to anybody? And she said, yeah, but I really didn't find what I'm looking for. So I said, well, let me see if I can help. And I called in her father, and I used the cards because that's the tool I use. So I used the cards to get answers to her. And I think it ended up helping to soothe her, knowing that all the problems and the stress and stuff she was projecting onto him didn't exist, you know? But we find I'm finding that a lot of people call for a psychic reading, and really what they're needing is a medium reading because they're trying to find somebody or trying to talk to somebody that's crossed over. You know, whatever. They don't really understand there's a difference between just psychic readings and medium readings.
True. I've had people come to me who just need closure. They need to know that their loved one on the other side is happy and if they're okay. Or maybe they have a grievance with them that they need to talk to them about. Something that didn't get worked out when they were still here in the physical, so they need to talk to them about it. You know, spirits can hear us. They can hear our thoughts. So if you want to reach out and say, hi, I want to talk to my grandmother and ask her why a certain thing happened in your in my life or your life, you can do that. You can write a letter to your loved one on the other side, and they will get that letter. They can hear us. So you can talk out loud to them. You can telepathically talk to them. Just depends.
I'm glad you said that, because I've had people come to me and ask me, tell so-and-so I said this. And I said, well, so-and-so's hearing what you're saying.
They can hear you. And I've had clients come to me and say, hey, I want to connect with, I want to talk to so-and-so, my uncle. And I said, well, you know, they have free will over there too. So if they don't want to talk to somebody, they might not come through. So I can't guarantee that that's going to be the person that's going to come through. Somebody else, like your grandmother, might have a stronger energy and she might come through first. Is that okay?
Uh-huh.
And you know,
I get it.
So, yeah, I mean, conjure up spirits. I've had somebody say, oh, well, you do the devil's work and you conjure up spirits. No, honey, they find me. I don't go looking for them. Believe me.
Well, now, we've got to let the audience know, you and I both have been in the South, and that's a very common Southern misconception about the work we do.
Surprisingly enough, where I am in Texas, it's been pretty good. Overall,
good.
I've been accepted, and I have run into a few, but where I live, people are pretty open.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, because it can be a rough ride.
Yeah.
So tell us, to expand more on what a medium does, besides just talking to the dead, you guys can help, like when someone, I had a girl call a couple of weeks ago, and she was trying to track somebody down. You guys can help with that, can't you?
Yes. I do lost animal cases. I've never done a missing persons case yet.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I take that back. I did have a friend who's also my client call me. It's been, I think, a year and a half, right when I first moved here, and her friend's son went missing, and he was going to, it was a big national news, it was on the national news, and I can't remember where it was now, but he had just gotten to college, like, a couple days before, and she had asked me, he went missing, and she asked me, can you please find him? And, you know, I gave her all this information, and sure enough, a couple of days later, everything that I had told her that he had passed and how it happened, and there was a homeless guy involved, and she contacted me a couple of days later and said, oh my God, you were right. I said, oh, okay, thanks.
I can't even imagine how difficult that would be to be able to see, hey, they're not here anymore, and have to tell somebody.
Well, even if it's an animal or a human, it's still difficult. The last few of the lost animal cases that I've had to go back and tell my client they are no longer here in the physical.
Wow.
And sometimes my spirit guides will tell me, and they won't find the body of this animal. And because they're not, the animal doesn't want them to, for the human to find their body, whatever it looks like, they don't want them to have that experience. They want them to remember the good times and the happy times.
Yeah.
And they don't want, I've had several animals say, can you please tell my mom not to be sad? I know it's sad because I'm not there anymore, but I'm still here in spirit. Our animals don't want us to be sad. They want us to go on with life and be happy. Mm-hmm. They want us to be happy and healthy.
I believe that. And I think, you know, some people, I mean, it was weird with Gowan because I was calm about it. I mean, I was upset, but the grieving didn't strike me really hard until like the last 6 months. And I don't know why it was delayed, but I did feel like he was going to cross over not far after I left Louisiana. But for some reason, the grieving just, it came on in the last 6 months, and that's been 2-3 years ago, so I don't know. But when do you ever find out when you're, you know, somebody says my animal, my dog took off, I need you to find him. Do you ever witness that the animals just want to get away? Want to go have a new experience?
Yes, I have. So when I get a lost animal case, the first two questions that I ask the animal are you alive or are you past, dead? And then I ask them the next question is, do you want to be found? And that's either a yes or a no. And if an animal, I had the experience of an animal didn't like where they were living and they were being abused. So they took off and they said, no, I don't want to go back until so-and-so, until dad gets a handle on his anger and stops treating my mom and I badly.
And then you had to tell that to the owner?
Yeah. I don't call them owners. I told the mom, I tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly. I don't
Man,
like to sugarcoat things because that's not going to help the human.
Exactly.
I always
I agree
believe
with
in
you.
Telling the truth. I don't tell
Man.
People what they want to hear. I tell them what they need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You don't
I
come
totally
to me to get, you know, sugarcoating foo-foo stuff.
Mm-hmm. I get a kick out of I'm like you are. But fortunately for me, I don't have those kind of heavy situations that I have to break down for people. But you know, people will say, "Well, are you going to tell me the truth?" I'm like, "Yeah, I don't really know any other way. It's going to have to be the truth." And you know, but I always try to soften the blow if it's heavy news. But I agree with you. I'm not here to spin tales to people and lies.
Well,
okay, we've got another person. Go ahead.
Oh, sure.
We've got another person in the queue. I wanted to give you the opportunity to ask a question. We're winding down. We've got about 25 minutes left. If you want to call in to get a question in with Meredith, the phone number is 515-602-9648. Be sure to press 1 in the queue so that we know you have a question. Okay, yeah. Meredith, you've been getting a lot of people calling in today.
Yay.
Thank you.
I have just so thoroughly enjoyed this and just getting to hear. Well, here, I have another question. Between the domesticated animals and the wild animals, is the communication, is the energy different when you go to read them or communicate with them?
Not really. All animals have different energies, just like humans.
Yeah.
So you can have, you know, I'll go talk to a domesticated animal and they feel wild to me. They see themselves as being a wild animal. Maybe they were a wild animal in their past life and now they're a domesticated animal.
Interesting.
So now I haven't found a big difference.
I was thinking about this morning before we started the show. I wanted to share with you and see what your take was on it. I would consider myself more a cat person, but I have respect and appreciation for dogs and their personalities. But the only time I've ever had a bad experience with a dog, I walked into this office building and there was a black lab on the floor in front of their desk. And, you know, he's just laying there. And Labradors are usually very calm. You know, they're not threatening. And I turned my back to walk out the door and the dog just lunged at me. And I don't know what that was about, but it freaked me out.
It could have been your energy, your vibration. It could be, I've had dogs, if I'm walking out of a friend's house and I go towards the door, their dog immediately starts barking and, you know, trying to bite my ankles or whatever.
After being calm.
After being calm, yeah. Sometimes they don't want you to leave. They get anxiety when people walk out the door for some odd reason. I don't know. I would have to talk to that animal and find out why.
Interesting. So it wasn't necessarily he just wanted to hurt me. It could have been a million things.
Could have been, yeah. Could have been one of many things going on with him.
Huh. But, well, you know, I notice I watch people with their dogs, and I understand that dogs are pack animals. They're looking, you know, for a strong leader. And so often, the pet owner's not, doesn't have that personality, and the dog just kind of goes crazy, you know. There's no discipline or structure. And, you know, I went in this house one time, and I was there on business, and the lady had a poodle, and this poor poodle, you know, I was walking into the poodle's territory, and it got so nervous and so upset, it just went to the bathroom on the floor, and the woman was yelling and screaming at the dog, and I was calm, and I told her, I said, you know, I'm in this animal's space. This is their territory, and I don't belong here. So, you know, cut her some slack. It's all good. But it astonishes me the little things that people don't understand about their pets. And I'm sure you see that a lot.
Yes, I do. I have had a dog tell me about their stupid mom or dad. Oh, or a veterinarian. They call the veterinarian stupid. Oh, well, didn't the veterinarian, you know, that doctor, he's so stupid, you know. Animals can read humans' thoughts, and they can also read our energy. So if somebody is not being honest with themselves or other people, I've had horses say, you know, she's lying to you. She's lying to you. I'm like, really?
Wow. Wow.
They can read our energy and what our intentions are with them or with their family. You know, so you can't lie to animals because they won't let you get away with it.
Well, whenever I go to a home that's got dogs in it, I always try to let them know, you know, I'm safe. I'm not here to do anything. I just need to talk to your owner or whatever. I do my best to soothe them, but like you said, reading my intentions anyway.
Right, right. And not all animals will out their mom or dad. I mean, some animals keep it hidden, you know, keep their mom or dad's secrets hidden. You know, and I always tell the animal, if you don't feel comfortable about talking about something, you let me know.
Aw, that's awesome.
I've had friends call me the animal therapist, the animal counselor, because that's essentially what I do is I help humans find solutions to their animals, whether it be a behavioral issue, a health issue, a training or performance issue. Like if you have a horse that's not at the top of their game and you want to know why, then you call me.
Do you out of all the animals, which I'm going to put you on the spot now. And it's okay if you don't want to answer me.
Sure.
of all the animal species, do you feel a stronger connection to any particular animal?
Horses.
That's what I figured.
Horses and dogs. Although I do have a cat, but he picked me. I didn't go and look for him.
Kind of like the spirits do.
Yeah.
Well, when I was growing up, I had one of everything known to man. And I will tell you, the one thing that I have always wished I could have, and I say that I don't want to own one. It's like I just wish I could have one as a friend, is a monkey.
A monkey.
Monkeys,
wow.
Yes, they have always, the little tiny ones, they've always, you know, I always had this fantasy I'd have a little house in like South America or something. There'd be a monkey that lived around it that would come and visit me. But I would never want to bring one into a home. And, you know, I don't believe in that. I just don't. I've told my husband if I could ever own like an arboretum or like a jungle, because I'm a plant person. I said, if I could ever own something that large, we'd have a little family of monkeys in there, and that would be cool. But I wouldn't want to take them out of their, you know, out of a natural environment for them, try to put diapers on them and all that. No.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, tell me about these fish. I can't even imagine talking to a fish.
I haven't really talked to a lot of fish. I used to have a goldfish. When was this? Back in 2007, I had two dogs and a goldfish. And I was moving out of this little tiny house. I couldn't take the fish with me. And so I asked one of the my house was on horse property, so in the back there were horses, and one of the guys that owned one of the horses, he came by one day, and I said, hey, you know, do you want this fish? And I asked the fish before, I said, do you want to stay with me, or would you like to go with David? And he said, you know, I'm pretty sure he said, well, I want to go with David. And sure enough, so David took my fish, and I'd say, it was a good long while after that, like, I don't know, 5-6 years or whatever, I ran into David again, and I said, hey, by the way, how's that goldfish doing? And he said, believe it or not, he's still alive.
He was happy.
I said, thank you so much. He was happy. David was a really gentle, kind soul. He's passed since then. He died of cancer. And he was just a really kind soul.
Aw. Well, you've had your experiences, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Some good, some bad.
Now, I know you go to dog shows and things like that. When you go to these shows and they're all out there doing their thing and they see you, do they all start chattering?
Some do, some don't. And once in a while, like, I'll walk up to their mom or dad at either an agility trial or a dog show, and I'll just kind of casually, you know, we start to talk, and then it comes up what I do, and then I'll hand them a card. And if it's meant to be, then they will call me. But I've had some animals say, I'm going to keep bugging my mom until she calls you, you know. and they do. They put a picture, they keep putting pictures in their mom or dad's head, like, and eventually the human gets it and will either look me up. You know, they'll say, you know what, I don't know, you know, how this came about, but I found you and I want you to talk to my pet. So
cool.
It does happen.
I think it's fascinating, and if I had an animal in my life right now, I would definitely want you to sit down and talk to it.
Well, thank you very much. It just, the work that I do, it just brings me so much joy to help humans and their animals.
To talk. To understand one another. So is it ever the animal asking you how to figure this human out, or is it usually the animal wanting
sometimes,
you to get the
sometimes.
Human?
Sometimes. Sometimes it is the animal saying, you know, can you tell my mom or dad they're just not getting it? Like, they need a 2x4 hit over the head or something. You know?
Oh, man.
And I've had humans say, oh, well, can you fix my animal? Well, no, I can't fix it. It's just like humans. If a dog or a cat or a horse is having behavior issues, I never guarantee that they're going to change their behavior just because you want them to.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
They can call in a dog trainer, and, you know, the dog can be trained out of that behavior. But I've had a few times where the dog is like, well, why should I change? She's not going to change, or he's not going to change their behavior. Why should I change my behavior?
It's true.
And I'm like, yeah, good point. Good point.
So when you're sitting in front of a client, and we're down to 13 minutes, just to let you guys know, when you're sitting with a client and their pet, do you, when you're talking, are you going in and out where you're telepathy and then you're telling the client, hey, this is what they're saying, like you did on here?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly. I do it by phone, or I go to the person's home or their barn. I go and talk to their horse at a stable or in their backyard. And I literally ask the horse, like if it's over the phone, I telepathically ask the animal a question. And then I say, I'm the middleman. That's what I do. I'm the messenger. Have you ever played operator? So I sit there and say, okay, well, your dog is telling me this. And they either say yes or no. I relay messages from the animal to the human.
I just had a question come up in my head. Have you worked with any animals that have been in situations where they were taught to fight, like the pit bulls, the cockfights, stuff like that? Have you ever talked to an animal that's been through that, and what did they say?
No, I haven't. Not yet. I haven't had that situation
experience.
Yet.
Yeah. Well, these little critters need you. And let me tell everybody out there, the way you can reach Meredith is by phone at 310-490-3225, or you can go to her website, www.connectionswithcritters.com. She's got a Facebook page, same name. I've been there. Fun place. You'll get a feel for Meredith's personality. We're down to 10 minutes, but I see someone just popped up. Do you have a question? If you do, please press 1 so we know to get you. Okay, hang on, Meredith. I got one question.
Sure.
And like I said, we're running out of time, so it's going to need to be brief. Hello, caller. What is your name?
Hello, this is Sarah. How are you doing?
Hi. Welcome.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, guys. Y'all have 45 more minutes to go, babe. Don't you go for another until the top of the hour?
No,
nope.
We're doing 90 minutes.
Oh my God. Okay, well I'm like they're not going off any second now. Listen, I just wanted to ask you something. What in the world is going on? Okay, you've changed it. I do not have a pet right now. I am petless, and I want a pet. also, I actually have a mate that really doesn't want a pet because he doesn't want to love anything again like he has before. And so I've just sort of put it out to the universe that I would like to have a pet. So do you have any thoughts on that? That I would like for one to show up at the door and love me.
So then he can't say no, right?
Absolutely. He would never say no if it just showed up. So just kind of putting the word out to the universe that I need a match. I need a pet match. So anyway.
I'm getting one is coming, like I'm seeing a cat.
It could very easily be a cat or a purse puppy, one of the two. I will take either.
But it's always in the universe's, it's always in the universe's time, not your time. So if you say,
exactly,
hey, universe, I'm putting in my order, but I want this animal in 2 months. It might not come in 2 months. It might come before 2 months, or it might come
tomorrow.
In 6 months.
Yes.
Or it might come tomorrow. You never know. I get
anyway.
One coming, and it's a cat. That's what
very
I'm
well
seeing.
Could be. That would be the probably the choice. Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you, Meredith. And I'm sorry about that. I was like,
thank
no,
you, Sarah.
It's not ending now. We'll talk to you later. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Sarah. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. So I guess we can start wrapping up. We've got just a few minutes left. And anybody, if you've listened to Meredith, I'm sure, quite sure, you've got a lot of confidence in her talents. And if you want to set something up, give her a call. She's down in Texas, so if you're not in Texas, it'll be what, by Skype or
Skype
FaceTime?
Or phone, FaceTime. FaceTime, Skype, or by phone. I can do this from anywhere in the world.
And just let me get into this real briefly. I like that
sure.
you just said that, because people will call me and they'll panic if they can't sit down with me. And I tell them, energy spans. You could be on Mars and we could have this conversation. I could pick up on your energy.
That's right.
They don't understand.
That's right.
They think you, and I mean, if you can do this by phone, I can surely give a psychic reading, you know? So, but they get confused about that all the time. So I'm glad you said that. So with all of this knowledge and it wrapping it up on energy, you know, this radio show, it's called Mystical Empress Life Coaching, but I like to bring in quantum physics, law of attraction, energy, vibration, frequency. And, you know, I'm always looking for people to bring on that are in that field of work, or they're teachers, or they're, you know, coaches themselves or whatever, because we all have something to offer. And it is all about energy, all of it. Doesn't matter what species. It can be colors, it can be plants, it can be animals, humans, whatever. But once you learn how to work with the energy, and, you know, in Meredith's case, you have learned to take that frequency of telepathy and pictures and words and been able to put a voice to it. So you're an interpreter of a different kind of language. And it's really, really cool. It's fascinating for people like me and others to listen and get a peek into your world. Is there any last little anecdote or story or guidance you would like to give?
Yes, it's that anybody can do this kind of work, whether you want to do it professionally or whether you just want to talk to your own animal. I do teach animal communication classes. I have one coming up. It's a free seminar on an introduction to animal communication at the SPCA of Texas at the Perry campus in McKinney, Texas. And that is Sunday, April 23rd at 1 p.m.
Okay.
And just to let people out there know that I'm not special. Yes, I've worked hard at honing my gift and my skill, whatever you want to call it. Anybody, we are all psychic.
True.
Anybody can do it.
True. Well, would you consider live streaming that event in Texas or recording it, filming it, so the rest of us out of state can see, can join in?
Yes, I would consider that, yes.
Because I would definitely like to be in the classroom.
I don't know how to do that, but I will check in on that. Definitely, definitely.
Because I would most definitely like to hear what you have to teach. And you, speaking of teaching, I want to throw this out too. There is a video out called, you go on YouTube, you guys, and look up Diablo Black Panther and
yep,
watch
I've seen that
video.
One many times. Yeah.
Oh, you can't sit through it without bawling your eyes out. It's a good story, but it's just this animal communicator came in and communicated with this panther, and it changed the animal's whole countenance, and it is so worth the watch. And speaking of which, we were talking about this the other day when I saw the girl with the horse named Kingston. We were talking about the names that we give to animals, and I had
exactly.
a friend that had a cat named, he was orange and striped, and she named him Tiger. And that cat was a holy terror, wild. And she changed
yeah.
his name to Pumpkin, and his personality just settled out.
That is true. That is true. And that Black Panther did not like his name, Diablo. And he told that to the animal communicator. And she's an amazing, amazing animal communicator.
She sure was. It's a beautiful story.
Beautiful, yes. Yes, some animals do not like their names, and they want to name themselves.
Cool. Really
cool. And same with babies. Human babies that are in their mom's tummy or they're coming in before the mom gets pregnant, I have talked to spirit children that tell me
what
you know,
want.
What their name is and what they want. Right.
Okay. All right, you guys, winding up here, go and check out Meredith at www.connectionswithcritters.com or give her a ring at 310-490-3225. For more Mystical Empress information, you can call me at 720-965-0062 or go to our website www.mysticalempress.com. We've got Facebook pages, we've got Google Plus pages, Instagram, a Pinterest board, all kinds of exciting things. And I wanted to say, I'm sorry that our recording didn't pan out last week. We couldn't get the mics to work. And we rescheduled Miss Luann Hunt for next Wednesday, the 29th, same time. And she's an indie country music singer. So I met her through a discussion of astrology and life coaching. And you will be very interested to hear how she has carved her own path in the music industry by using law of attraction and her own positive, uplifting approach to life. I want to thank everybody for coming today and all of you guys that asked questions. You've been phenomenal. And many mystical blessings in the week to come in this beautiful spring weather. Thank you very much, Meredith, for all the information that you shared with us today.
And thank you. I want to thank you, Brenda, for having me on as a guest. It's been a wonderful opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.